This is a production of Cornell University.
Get going here if I can get a motion to call a meeting to order.
Motion to call the meeting in order.
And a second?
Second.
All right. All right, with that, we'll call today's CJC committee meeting to order. We do have a couple of new members, which I want to just acknowledge we have a pretty tight timeline that we have to meet this evening. So we'll do a formal introduction piece at our next regular meeting. So I apologize that we're just going to kind of jump right in here. But I just want to make sure that I'm confirmed. We have James and Heather are our new members here, so everyone is aware. I just want to acknowledge too as well that we will have today's meeting. We're going to be sticking to comments and questions from the voting members. We do have public folks and ex officio members here, but for the sake of time and the ability to move forward this agenda and the comments, we will stick with voting members in the event that we do somehow miraculously get through this agenda and are able to have some time on the other end. Obviously, we'll welcome folks. And so I just want to, thank you, James, for making that clarification. I knew there were two members and I couldn't remember the name, so you're from JCC. I appreciate that.
I think right, Uche has taken a seat, a formal voting seat, as the SA representative.
Listen, it's a myriad of emails in a day and you forget what came in and what didn't. So, all right, well, let's jump right in here. So the first agenda item we had on there is the debrief from the public forum. And I believe at this time we can pass on that one and move right into the public comment section. So I wanna just acknowledge it and thank, I'm assuming thanking the student assembly for their work and spreading the message, because we more than doubled our comments at this point. So we had a significant amount of folks going on to the website today and providing us with a comment. So really great to see. I will have an updated one that I believe Wendy is gonna send over to me, or if Gina is able to get that over. I have the most recent one as of, I think, around 2 o'clock today. And that one had 80 comments with 67 individual commenters. I'm sure it's grown since then. So I also want to thank Risa for taking a moment to kind of look through the comments and try to identify some key areas of topics and conversations, because that's really helpful. And I think it'll be beneficial for us to be able to present that in addition to the comments. So I think the main question that we need to speak to here today is about how we move these comments forward to council's office. And I'll kind of lead off in saying that, you know, we have a PDF document that is, and it was 27 pages and now it's 38. So an extensive document with a number of comments that are, that may be repetitive, but we will include. And so just getting an understanding of how best the committee might feel to move that document forward, knowing that we really have the next hour to make this done and move forward for the council's office. So I open the floor up to conversation in regards to one of folks might want to take a look at Risa's document that was sent out and look at that as a possible model that we could move forward, or any, I welcome other opinions in regards to that. Recognize Nick.
Thank you, Brandon. I really wanted to thank Risa for her work on this, and I think that it summarizes everything. I mean, objectively, it's not even the opinion of this committee that's summarized there. It's just what's in the public forum section. So if we're just looking for a way to relay those comments to council, I think it's a pretty compelling summary of what we've seen in the public comments.
Thank you, Nick. Has everybody had a chance to get those? I know that Heather, you might have just gotten added to the listserv, so I'm not sure if you would have gotten Risa's email this afternoon.
I did not get the email this afternoon.
Okay. Why don't I just share my screen here and we can pull that up. I can show you all what Risa sent here. So this is just taking Risa took a moment to kind of summarize what was currently in the comments and the forums. and just sort of outline these as our as the repetitive or repeated comments and general threads of the feedback currently. Just as a reminder, folks, a couple of things that I want to make sure everyone's aware is, please note that the chat is not part of public record. So encourage, you know, if we have conversations, and I should have done this earlier, so I'm not calling anyone out. I'm just making it known, like, if we're doing chat items, we want to make sure that if they're going to be part of the committee meeting that we either read them aloud or well, we would read them aloud, because those are included in the transcripts. And that if you, you know, I, now that I'm sharing my screen, I can't see all of your hands. So if you can utilize the participant button with the raise hand feature, it's helpful for me to be able to watch that. So recognize Nick.
Thank you. Sorry to speak again. I just wanted to say, since you just said that the chat is not part of the thing, I want to acknowledge that yesterday's correction that Barb made to one of my comments. First off, I want to say that I did not mean to say that the Office of the JA targets students. They don't, and that's not their role. And she made that clarification, and I just want to make sure that that goes on record.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. All right, so thank you, Nick. So again, back to the our kind of current agenda item, I recognize Risa.
Yeah, thanks. So I put this together and it was right before the meeting, but we're all kind of squeezed for time, right? So sorry you didn't get it earlier. But my thought was this could be at the very least a point of departure, because rather than just dumping the comments onto, you know, to the University Council saying, yeah, we read them, here they are, we would have more than more than just that. So this was to try to say, well, what were the themes that we heard? And, you know, I'm always pulled a little bit on this sort of thing because there were many comments that were really important that are not reflected here. But it seemed to me that these were the repeated concerns. And I think repetition is a good thing because it shows us that there are actually overlapping concerns among people. So it signals something to me. So I just hope that we can send something to council's office that reflects to council's office what we heard as particularly of concern. And then also, I'm assuming we're going to be sending to the council's office the vote that we took yesterday on the issue of voting for retaining the statement from the current code about the UA retaining having the power to amend the code. That was the other thing I wanted to make sure that does get to council's office.
Thank you, Risa. They just to, for those who weren't able to attend the meeting yesterday, there was a motion which passed for us to provide as a comment, which would be, you know, could perhaps be included in this document. A statement from the CJC, as noted, the CJC recommends that the University Assembly retain the supervisory role over the code as it has been in the past, and utilizing the same language of the current code, which state that this code may be amended by the UA subject to approval of the president. So in essence, it's just maintaining the current level of oversight that the University and Assembly and CJC has is a recommendation for the CJC. So again, that could be included as part of this document here as a header for the CJC would like to state the following, and please note the review of after review of the revisions and the feedback, here are the underlying themes which were noted. I recognize Nick.
Thanks, Brendan. I also wanted to, just because we have this super short timeline, and I don't think I've ever seen this much quorum at one of our meetings, perhaps it might be a good idea for us to briefly talk about some of the things where we could potentially express an opinion. Particularly, I'm thinking about the standard of evidence. If we could kind of have a brief discussion about that and maybe think about whether as a committee we want to express some opinion, but also I understand if people are opposed to that. I just kind of want to put that out there because I think there might be some value in us expressing an opinion.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that. And I understand the importance of that. I think what I would ask if we could try to maintain right now to make a decision on how we move forward the current comment pieces. And I think if we can make an agreement as a committee on how we do that. And that could be as simple as if everybody's in agree feels that what has been put together by Risa, kind of reviewing the current comments and repeating themes there and providing them with the PDF in conjunction with that. It could be as simple as that. And then, yes, we could move into further conversation around some of the opinions or perspectives that the CJC might like to provide as well. So I guess what I would be asking here is sort of folks to take a moment to read through these bulleted points and perhaps Risa, if you might want to speak to how you kind of put these together to better help folks better understand. And ultimately we could have a motion to have this be the overarching document that in conjunction with the full PDF, along with the questions from the public comments, the public forum that I provided, that would be how we would move this forward. So I don't want to be the one to make, I'm not going to be the one to make the decision and how we move it forward. So I just ask for some conversation in that regard.
So did you want me to just talk about it a little bit then?
I think that'd be great.
Okay, great. So what I did was, it's nothing very complex about what I did. I went through the comments, I highlighted for myself in yellow the points that I was seeing repeated, and then went back through, you know, and they were not surprising because I've read the comments before. So I wanted to confirm that for myself. And it seemed to me that one thing everybody agrees on is the restorative justice, that that's a good thing and it should be a real focus. So that's positive. I didn't see a lot of other things that I would say everybody agreed on. You know, there were little pieces, but it seemed to me that there were significant concerns raised about the loss of independence of the Judicial Codes Council. Should be counselors, not counsel. Obviously the potential lowering the standard of proof plus significant support in favor of retaining clear and convincing evidence. There was concern about the loss of the option for a public hearing. And I noted this yesterday in our meeting that, and I put it here too, because I thought it was significant that University Counsel Madeline Wessel stated at the public forum that she intended that this option remain. And my memory is that Marissa said, well, it should probably be clarified about that then. There was concern about the reduced ability of advisors, whether it's a CJC and or counsel, to speak on behalf of parties and to engage in questioning the witnesses directly at all kinds of hearings, regardless of the level of sanction. There was concern about that direct questioning, that wording was confusing to people who, including me, who said, well, does that leave out cross-examination? And so the need for clarification of that, and then the issue of amending the code, as we just discussed. And obviously there are other issues, there are other concerns I have, but I didn't put them up here because it seemed to me that what we could do is reflect the weight that we were hearing.
Risa, can you clarify, is this the review of the document that was attached this afternoon, so had the 80 something comments in it, or was it?
I didn't see anything with 80 comments. Somehow I missed that. I was reading something with that was like 30 something pages.
Okay, so that would have been the one from yesterday. And then
I thought I have two different documents. So one of them is from today, but for somehow I did not get something with what's the last time? Let me look at what I have.
This one was run as of 12:15 today.
I just sent that to everybody along with Risa's document. You should have just received it by email.
Okay,
I'll have to look because I didn't see it.
So. Okay. And I think Alex had his hands up. I'll recognize Alex and then Nick.
First of all, I would like to really appreciate Risa for drafting this document. And I think this draft really nicely and greatly summarizes our main concerns, as well as the repeated the repeated themes brought up during the public forum. And I support Brandon's proposition to include this document or this draft along with the public comment when we send those documents to the Office of Council and make it as like one PDF file. That sounds like a really good proposition. I also support Nick's proposition that after we discuss this draft, we need to discuss our position as the entire CJC regarding those main concerns, so that we could kind of like verify one more time what our main concerns are and how we would like to address that concern to the entire university assembly.
Thank you, Alex. I recognize Nick.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Alex. I just wanted to say that since we've kind of gotten this summary and also the comments haven't changed significantly from what was sent. I've been checking it like every hour or so since our last meeting last night, and the comments generally, this does reflect the spirit of the comments that now include 33 undergraduates, which I will acknowledge is very important as well. I think with that, I would like to motion to vote on making this the official document along with the PDFs.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I will second, but there is a hand raised by Uche.
Thank you. So that we have a motion and second, and I recognize Uche.
Yeah, I would just like to make a quick comment because I'm not sure. I guess this is like in reference, or Nick's comment was in reference to my comment from yesterday about the amount of undergrads that are probably putting comments on there. I think that anyways, I guess it's great to see a little more undergrads commenting, but I think it still holds that like, I would love for us to look at like the racial makeup of who is actually commenting from the undergrad side, because I don't think that this is very reflective of what minority students or marginalized students on campus are thinking.
Thank you, Jay. Just to clarify, we have a motion on the floor. So we are in discussion in regards to the motion for this document, which Risa has put together as a summary document to be in conjunction with the full comments from the public website, in addition to the questions stated in our public forum last Thursday. So any further discussion in regards to that motion? No further discussion. I recognize Nick.
A motion to vote.
All right, we have a call to question. You have a second?
Second.
All right. For those new to the format here, the way the voting process works is excuse me, if you click on the participants button, you'll see a yes or no button there and ask if you, all those in favor to press the yes, all those opposed to press no. And please leave your response up for a moment to allow for those to be recorded. And give me a moment while I look through and make sure all the voting members. Okay. With that, we have a unanimous. Yes, that's correct. Unanimous 8 votes to pass this as the document summary. So again, big thank you to Risa for taking the time to put this document together. I think it is very to the point and covers the agenda items that are important for us to provide to the University Council. And I'm really excited that we were able to reach that piece very quickly, and which will allow for us time to do, excuse me, my throat is bothering me today, to discuss any further conversation in regards to the CJC committee and what items we might think are important to put forward. I do want us to to look at a standing meeting, though. I think that's important for us to identify a standing meeting. And I don't know how to do that with the 8 people on a on a Zoom call effectively. Excuse me. But if we have any thoughts in regards to a standing meeting, perhaps I can just put together a quick survey for that one, Gina. I don't know how other committees have kind of managed that. That might be a better avenue.
Yep, we can do a doodle poll. Okay. Or if you want to take the time right now, we can use the polling feature in Zoom, but it might be best to just do a doodle poll with some specific options.
Okay. I recognize Kat.
Hi, Brandon. thanks. Just to, I'm super in favor of like finding a time for a standing meeting. Just trying to figure out like, when would these standing meetings start and for how long? Would it be like just for the remainder of the semester or would it extend throughout the year?
So typically we would identify a standing time frame that would repeat throughout the rest of this semester and next. So we would go through the school year in essence, and Gina can provide a little more guidance into.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off in mid-sentence. Typically, just because oftentimes students and faculty don't know their schedules until with the academic term, the meetings are by semester. And then once the new semester starts, people will know what their schedules and availability would be.
So really, we would be looking to start our standing meetings, which would really only be perhaps one, you know, or two more for the remainder of this semester and then on to a break. So.
Okay, thank you. That's perfect.
Yeah. So I don't think we need to have a lot of discussion or voting on whether or not we go the doodle poll route. I think that's probably going to be our best case scenario to quickly get that information instead of polling everyone here one by one and me figuring out my crazy calendar for all of you as well. So I think we'll go that route. So then at that point, we have made it through our agenda items. So thank you. And I would now, as Nick stated, like to provide the opportunity for us to discuss any other items that we may want to consider providing in conjunction with the previous motion from yesterday's meeting and a recommendation, other items for the UA to do. And Robert, I see your hands up. I just want to acknowledge again that our goal for today is to recognize the voting members. And then at that point, if we have time, after the voting members have spoken, we will make time for public comments. Go ahead, recognize Visa.
Yeah, thanks. I think it would be great with the time we have to see if we have, since we also have more people, which is nice, if there are issues on which we have a substantive position to put forward, I think that would be a good thing. I know the standard of evidence is controversial. I just took a look at the new comments that did go out, and I saw that there were significantly more comments stating that clear and convincing evidence should be retained. I certainly heard Uche, you know, what you had asked about, but I think it would be worth returning to that and seeing if there's, given that we have more people present, if there is more, if there are other positions. We were evenly divided, but we were such a tiny group yesterday that it was hard to get a sense of it. And in particular, you know, I'd be very interested in hearing from some of the students why some students favor preponderance of evidence over clear and convincing evidence, because that's still unclear to me, given that it's protective of, the way I see it, it's protective of student rights. So I don't know, Brandon, if it's appropriate for me to make a motion again that we vote on retaining, that we vote on whether to retain clear and convincing evidence. And actually my motion would be to retain clear and convincing evidence and to recommend that to counsel's office.
Thank you, Risa. I want to ask a clarifying question before I move to a second on that, and that we did have a vote just on this exact topic yesterday Gina, so I don't know if you have a perspective on how, I'm not, I've made everyone know, I'm not an expert on Robert's rules, and having a vote on something and then a meeting the next day and the same item brought up again, is there any concern or standard in that regard?
I actually don't know, and I will do a quick look. It was, as I understand it, it didn't pass yesterday, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So I recognize Nick.
Yeah, could I just call a point of order real quick? So according to Robert's rules, you cannot re-vote on a resolution. However, you can re-vote on a motion. And since this is not a resolution and a motion, it is an order. But of course, we can wait for Gina to verify that.
Thank you, Nick. I recognize Kat.
Just a clarifying question in response to Nick's clarification, which I appreciate. Just like, does the CJC ever do resolutions in general? Because it seems like we just only do motions, and like that's kind of like the main body in which we make decisions. And if we're not doing resolutions that often or like at all, does it make sense to like apply the same rule? Like I know the SA does resolutions like literally every time, but I just want to make sure that, wondering if like anyone knows what CJCs have done or anything.
Thank you, Kat. As only about 11 or 12 days in, I can't give you that answer as to whether or not the previous folks, and I might ask of Gina to provide us some guidance there as well onto into the resolution world of the CJC, or if past members want to speak to that. Risa, you've been with this with the CJC for some time, if you have any thoughts or comments there.
Well, we don't do resolutions. You know, we vote on various items. I mean, we have voted actually, you know, in the spring on the issues of standards of proof. So it seems to me that there's always the opportunity to revisit the issues as we've done, you know, over time on this. So I don't know if it's an issue of timing because we voted yesterday or ever. So it seems to me that, you know, we have a lot more people here, including people who weren't here yesterday.
Okay. Thank you, Risa. Recognize Alex.
Well, actually, like I was not able to attend yesterday's meeting, and therefore I missed the discussion about those like really important issues, and I missed my chance to vote on those issues. So, like if possible, I would be more than happy to rediscuss those issues and get a chance to vote on those issues in today's meeting, if possible. So I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you. And I just want to acknowledge that Risa has made a motion, and I paused before we asked for a second to get clarification to ensure that that is in order with Robert's rules. So just want to be respectful of acknowledging that for you, Risa, that I'm not trying to prevent you from doing that. I just want to make sure that it is in order with the Robert's rules. So I recognize Nick.
Thank you, Brandon. Since Alex has expressed that he wasn't here and he wanted to vote, as a member that was present yesterday, I would like to call for a motion to reconsider in case Risa's motion is not in order. That's also within Robert's rules.
Learning a lot as I go here, folks. I appreciate it and appreciate your patience there. Gina, any clarifying in that regard of a motion to reconsider?
I'm still getting the clarification, but it sounds like, Nick, if you could just point me to the reference in Robert's rules for that. It looks like Robert also provided something. I think you can reconsider something, but it wouldn't have anything to do with who was present or not. It's a matter of timing.
I will send you both of the excerpts from Robert's rules that I'm referring to. I just need to pull them up. Sorry, this is going to take a couple of minutes because I don't have it up right now.
Thanks.
Can I just say that it logically, motion to reconsider seems to me to fit better, and I would be very happy to make this a motion to reconsider. But, you know, in the interest of time as well, while Gina's checking stuff, perhaps there are other issues we could talk about substantively.
I recognize Kat.
Yes, thank you, Brandon and Risa. I think, yeah, I would love to like talk about whether or not we could vote on like the like, I know we put the, we're like sending the document off to Council Wessel, and it expresses like, oh, like in the public comments, they really like supported restorative justice. I was wondering if the CJC would be willing to take a stand on that as well. And maybe also express that, like, I really, really care about like restorative justice and like expanding the program on a campus. I'm not sure how many of you guys are like familiar with the RJ program, but it's like kind of run out of like the Scheinman Institute, which is like an ILR program. And it's like supported by like basically one or two ILR professors and a couple admin from the Scheinman Institute. But I think that they're like kind of small. They don't take as many cases as I think that they would be able to benefit more students from if they were able to take more. So maybe, if the CJC is willing to like discuss this, or maybe like express that administration should provide more support for the mediation and the restorative justice programs. And also, just because so many people have like expressed that they approve of this, and I know Barb is unfortunately interim. so like in the future, when we do have a new judicial administrator, maybe asking that we like try to recruit from someone with like an RJ background or a mediation background, or someone who is like more like, just so that we have a guarantee that the university is going to be thinking about these things. And if the, I'm just wondering if the CJC wants to discuss this and is willing to take a stand on that.
Thank you, Kat. And Gene, I don't know if you saw Robert put up section 36 of newly revised, is where he found the, we might be able to review the motion to move to reconsider. So then recognize Jen.
I just didn't know if the new members to our group could quickly introduce themselves and their constituencies. That would be super helpful as well.
Hey, we got a moment. Let's take that advantage of that moment. Heather, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Heather. I'm a second year law student and I am with GPSA.
Thank you. And I just want to make sure everyone knows that Uche is now our additional, is a voting member appointed from the student assembly. So Heather was the only new. Uche's been here, so but Uche, feel free to comment.
Yes. Hi. I'm Uche Chukwukere, senior in the College of Arts and Sciences, double majoring in chemistry and biology, and I'm the undergraduate student representative appointed by the SA.
Thank you. I recognize Risa. You're on mute.
Yeah, there I go. To respond to Kat, I think it'd be great if we can vote to support resources and building a restorative justice program. I happen to, I don't know her well, but I do know one of the experts in the country on restorative justice from University of Arizona, Mary Koss. I don't know if you've run into her work, those of you who work on this, but you know, this is a very big field and I think we should do it well, which means we should do it carefully. And it should be something where people actually do feel that it's just, you know, the worst thing is for people to go through something like that and to feel like they've been pressured to agree. I'm not accusing anybody of doing that. I'm just saying that one of the legitimate aspects of one of the issues of legitimacy in this area is for people to actually feel that it truly was, to use Barb's favorite term, and now I think it works, educational, right? That people actually had a meeting of the minds as much as possible, that they changed, that they actually thought about justice in a deep and restorative way. So for the CJC to vote for that, I think would be terrific. You know, we don't always have to be disagreeing. I don't know who's not in favor of restorative justice, but maybe there is somebody who isn't. I just think we need to do it well, carefully, and you know, very, very consciously.
Thank you, Risa. I want to recognize Gina. She has an answer for us.
Yes, thank you for your patience. And thanks, Nick. Actually, within the section that Nick pointed out, it's rescinding an action. It's not necessarily a resolution. without previous notice, that there was no previous notice given to before this meeting that you wanted to rescind this, the motion requires a two-thirds vote or a majority of the entire membership for its adoption.
So in that regard, then we can go back to the original motion was to vote again on the same topic, and then we had a move to reconsider. Which of those motions would be the correct one there?
So as I understand it, you can vote by two-thirds to have a revote on to rescind the resolution that didn't pass yesterday.
Okay. All right, so let's go back to where we were. We had a motion to vote, and we had a motion to reconsider. We need to ask those who made those motions to clarify the motion that they are now asking, as Gina had stated there. So I can't remember who made the motion. The original motion, I believe, was Nick, is that right? Or Risa?
I made it.
Risa, okay, yeah.
So if I'm understanding what I just heard, I need to make a motion to rescind the decision that was made yesterday regarding, that was reached yesterday by the CJC on the issue of the standard of proof. Is that correct?
Sounds good to me.
Now, that's not a substantive vote in favor of a standard of proof, right? It's just to rescind what we did yesterday, and then we could go on to do another motion regarding the standard of proof, right? Okay.
All right, so again,
to rescind.
Clarify, the motion is to rescind yesterday's vote, which was on to the CJC in support of the clear and convincing evidence standard, which did not pass. Do I have a second for that motion?
Second.
We have a second for that motion to rescind that. Now to discussion. Recognize Kat.
Just a really quick clarification from Gina. Is it two-thirds or majority? I think you said both at one point, and then is it, just wanted to check. Sorry.
It was, you were right. And as I said, majority, I thought, why did I just say majority? So it's two different things. A two-thirds vote says, or a majority of the entire membership. So one is quorum and one is the seated members.
And let me figure out what that number is, unless you have that off the top of your head, Gina.
Robert's rules, I can do math, not so much. Let me see. So it's either two-thirds of eight. There's got to be somebody who can actually do that. Kat, you have your handy calculator, or
5.3. So I'm assuming that's six.
Six.
Yeah. So in order for this to pass, we would need six in the affirmative to rescind. All right. Any discussion in regards to the motion that has been seconded?
Excuse me. Or it would need half of the voting members, and I don't know what that number is.
It's 10. No, actually, it's 11, so it would still need six.
Six. All right, that was easy. All right, again, we are in discussion now in regards to the motion to rescind yesterday's vote that failed in support of the standard of clear and convincing evidence. Recognize Kat?
I'm so sorry. I just have another question. So if this motion passes, we're just rescinding or vote, does that mean that it's like taking away the vote in its entirety, or it's reversing the decision?
Good question. So we would be rescinding the decision that was made yesterday, and then we could have a motion on the floor again to vote on that particular topic. So we could pass the rescission and then fail the vote. It could happen. So just to be clear, you know, if we get six votes in the affirmative to rescind it, and then we don't get a majority to pass it for some reason, someone makes an argument afterwards we have to rescind the motion, the decision made yesterday, and then there would be a motion to vote on it again.
Is that clear, Kat?
Can I call the question?
We have a call to question. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a second. So again, we are voting on rescinding the vote from yesterday that did not pass for clear and convincing as a recommendation from the CJC. All those in favor, please press the yes button. All those opposed, the no. All right, this time it looks like we have 4 in favor, 3 opposed, and I will abstain. So at this time, the motion does not pass. Okay. Heather, did you vote late? Or did I just clear? You were trying to clear yours as I was clearing them all.
Exactly. Okay, we're good.
All right, thank you. I recognize Risa.
In the interest of restorative justice, I move that we vote to support university resources to build restorative justice and alternative dispute resolution programs in conjunction with the code of conduct.
Thank you. Do I have a second? I have a second. And Risa, for my sake, would you mind just typing into the chat, which I will read aloud just so I have it to be able to restate it when we get to the voting perspective. But we're in discussion now in regards to the motion from Risa.
Sorry, Brandon, I kind of lost my connection there. Could you repeat what you said?
Oh, I was just asking Risa to put in the chat so I have the clear, have it outlined of what her resolution is stating, her motion is stating. And then we're in discussion in regards to the restorative justice in regards to the CJC's support of it. All right, so we have a motion to support the restorative justice and alternative dispute resolution provisions in the proposed student code of conduct. Do we have any discussion in the matter? If there is none, if we can get a call to question.
If there's no more discussion, you don't have to have a call to question, right? Can't you just ask us to vote?
I'm still figuring this out, Risa. Thanks. All right, so seeing no discussion, if we can now vote again, in the participant button, all those in favor, yes. Those opposed, no. Please note if there is, if you don't vote, I'll assume abstention. So looks like we have all in favor, no opposed, and no abstentions. So I will include this information in the document that we are providing to the council's office that the CJC recommends. We have the recommendation about retaining supervisory role as well as supporting the CJC supports restorative justice as stated in the chat there. Great, thank you, Risa and Kat and everyone. Thank all of you. All right, any additional topics that folks might want to discuss here? Go ahead, recognize Kat.
I'm sorry for like taking up so much space. just returning to something I said earlier, just about like the OJA position itself, just because like a lot of students I've talked to have like either interacted with a previous OJA and are just, I just want to make sure that like university or the administration or whoever's in charge of hiring understands that like students would love it if maybe they could be involved in the hiring process. I know like in SCL, students are actually allowed to be a part of the hiring and interview process when we bring in new administration, which is so cool. And I don't even know if CJC has like jurisdiction or a say in this, but I think it'd be really, really fascinating. Like, I'd love it if we were able to talk about or discuss whether or not CJC could support like community members and students being a part of the hiring process or recruitment process. And again, just making sure that like when we are looking for a new JA, I know there's like big nationwide searches, making sure we're recruiting or like being intentional about looking for people who also care about like the educational aspect, like Barb talks about, and also like sort of justice mediation, just making sure we're moving towards an educational code like we've been trying to do for years and making sure that's continued with the new JA.
Thank you, Kat. I recognize Nick.
Thank you for that, Kat. I actually want to second that fully. And in addition to that, I want to add that I think that we should not only involve community members and students, but we should also specifically seek minority students to be on these committees. And we should seek minority representatives to be in these positions when the hiring happens.
Thank you, Nick. Recognize Kat.
Thank you so much for that, Nick. And also just, yeah, like just being intentional about what kind of students we're inviting into the room. And also I wanna be inclusive, like grad students, again, like all community members, making sure they're able to just meet with whoever they're thinking of hiring. Also just making sure we're not also like tokenizing students at the same time, because I know that's always an issue when we're talking about being inclusive, just making sure that we just know who to reach out to and like whoever's in charge of the hiring process is also cognizant of that. But thank you so much, Nick.
So at this time, we're discussing potential items that we as the CJC would like to move forward as in support of. And resolve that we would like to provide in this document that we are providing to council's office additional items. So Kat brought up the subject of involving students and the community in the hiring process for these offices. So if there was a hope to be able to vote, you know, we are running low on time here. I'm trying to be mindful. Let's see if we can get this one to end on time this evening. If they would like to vote on that as a topic, we would need a motion to do so.
Motion to vote on what Kat just said about including students in the search process.
Okay.
Do you have a second? I motion that.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay. We have discussion. And again, I'll ask, thank you, Kat, for getting that in there so I can state it effectively. It's a lot easier when you have resolutions and you just read the resolution. Here, I gotta reread the things people say. So I recognize Risa.
I just have a question. I'm not completely sure I understand the motion, what the motion is, because I heard it perhaps a couple different ways. Okay, a motion to student involvement in the search and hiring process. I don't know exactly what that means. I think it's great to have a lot of student input and involvement, but what I'd like to ask is if somebody could state right now, because I don't have it in front of me and I cannot remember what the proposed code of conduct currently says about how the OJA, who will be called something else, will be hired. Under the current code, it's the University Assembly, which of course includes students. But I don't remember what it says now in the proposed code.
Thank you. And I may turn to Barb to see if that was a question that you would be willing to answer for this committee here in the from your perspective.
I can try to pull it up and find it. I wasn't prepared to be answering questions today. Understandably, so, I appreciate that.
We'll give you a moment. I don't want to put you on the spot. I see Kat has raised her hand, so I'll recognize Kat.
I think it's in section 2.1, I think. 2.1, the last paragraph of 2.1 says the director shall be appointed by and reports to the vice president for student and campus life or designee. The vice president shall consult with the student assembly and graduate and student, the SA and the GPSA prior to the director's appointment and shall request representatives from the SA and GPSA to serve on the search committee when a new director is hired. Then there's additional language about an annual report. Do you want me to continue reading?
Or no, I think that's perfect. Thank you for clarifying that. I think then if I can, and then I'll recognize Kat, I think the document states that, and we are, you know, I think in support of that decision to provide that consultation to the hiring process. So I recognize Kat.
Awesome, thank you, Brandon. And yes, I think the reason why I support this is because according to what Barb just said, it'd be like the VP of student campus life, and then SAOSAGBSA, which is the student input. And the reason I support this, I wasn't sure if VPSCL would actually be in charge of the hiring process with the code changes, but I am glad to hear that that is the case because for the past like two or three years, the SCL department has like been hiring new vice presidents. So we had a new vice president of like health, I think like Cornell Health, and then new vice president for a new assistant vice president to Ryan's department. And they've done a phenomenal job of including students in the process. Like he actually invited like multiple student leaders from the GPSA, so the grad student trustee from the past years, and undergraduate students from like the SA. And like when we were interviewing the VP of like health, he invited students from like the Mental Health Coalition that had been formed by undergraduate and graduate students. And we were able to actually sit in, meet with the candidate and interview them. Like we asked them questions and we were allowed to meet with every single candidate and ask them more questions. And then we provided our feedback afterwards. I think that was like very, very valuable to so many students. We like adore our new SCL staff, like Sharon McMullen from the VP of Health. Like she's been doing a phenomenal job. And I was like part of the group that helped interview her in the first place. And this is why I just like, this is what I was thinking of when I was proposing that students be a part of the process. And I think that would work well with SCL as that's still going to be around.
Thank you, Kat. I recognize Nick.
Thank you, Kat. I love that idea. I'm glad that Ryan Lombardi has been doing that. And I think we should definitely do it for this. I do want to say, I think the SA and GPSA need to have a voice. I don't understand why the OSA is put on the same level as two assemblies, because our assemblies represent everyone, because you know everyone is allowed to vote for our elections, and OSA doesn't work in that same way. So I worry that we might be introducing people that haven't been democratically elected into this. So I would stick with the SA and GPSA, specifically on this, and also obviously Ryan Lombardi's office.
Thank you, Nick. I recognize Barbara, are you going to clarify that?
Yeah, I didn't say the OSA. I was reading from the text of 2.1. Mr. Platt referenced the OSA in his comment, but the current code as proposed by council's office does not reference OSA in this section of 2.1 about appointing the director. Okay.
Thank you, Barbara. All right, any further discussion in regards to the motion in support of student involvement and student involvement in the search and hiring process for the new OJA position? I recognize Risa.
Look, I have nothing against student involvement. It just seems to me that the current proposed code has the student assembly, and it's up to the student assembly to bring in more students that they're representing them. So it seems to me that between the SA and the GPSA, that the structure of having this hiring process includes students. So I'm not going to vote in favor of the motion, not because I'm against student involvement, but it seems to me unnecessary to have a motion that's already in the proposed code.
Thank you, Risa. Recognize Kat.
That's totally, I totally respect that. I just feel like it would help if we were able to express that, we like just to make sure that they know for a fact that we do support student involvement in the code, just because many things in the code are like contentious and like the CJC doesn't agree on everything. But that's totally fine. I just feel like it'd be helpful if we were able to express that we do support student involvement, just in case they're unclear about that. And also just making sure like the vice president of SCL in future years like knows this is something that we agreed on as a body. But I don't mind, that's okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none. All those in favor of the motion to support student involvement in the search and hiring process of the new OJA position, please vote yes. All those opposed, no. Okay. Now we have 7 in favor. I'll go ahead and make it 8, all the unanimous decision. So we'll add that to the document as well. Great work tonight, everyone. I really appreciate the conversation and the dialogue. And I think it's really great to see us all working in a space where we can begin to provide a clear support from our committee, which I think is really important. So I just want to acknowledge and appreciate that this evening. Some great conversation. Recognize Alex?
Just one last question. So can I expect the doodle poll for our standing meeting time in the near future?
Yes, I'll work with Gina to provide her with timeframes that work for myself and Dakota so that we can try to, most of it, I don't think anybody's even met Dakota yet because we all of our meetings have been willy-nilly and haven't worked for her schedule, but she's the clerk for us. So I'll work with Gina so we can try to, we can involve her in those standing meetings. And then I'll get that out to you. I would say by midday to afternoon tomorrow would be a feasible time frame. I recognize Risa.
Yeah, I realize we're running out of time and perhaps what's needed is a motion to extend for 10 minutes, but it seems to me that one of the really important issues for both the complainant's code counselor and for the respondent's code counselor is independence. And one of the issues that was raised was particularly for the respondents' code counselors to have independence, which is what I put on the list. But it sounds like there's significant agreement between complainants and respondents' code counselors on certain things, and perhaps the independence issue is part of that. So I would really think it would be wonderful if the CJC could support that issue of the independence of counselors who will be representing parties. And I don't know if we need a motion to extend the meeting. I would move to extend the meeting by, I don't know, 10 minutes, if that's necessary.
We have a motion to extend. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay. All right. Meeting will be extended by 10 minutes here, and I recognize Nick.
Thank you. Just because we didn't get a motion for what Risa said, I'd like to put it in an official motion. I'll type it up, but I'll just verbalize it now for the record. The CJC strongly recommends that the JCC and the complainants' code advisors retain their independence from all other offices and parties involved in the judicial affairs processes.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
You have a second. Discussion in regards, Risa, is your hand still up from previous or?
Oh, wait. Yeah, I didn't raise it again.
No worries.
Though I will raise it again.
Recognize Risa.
I would really appreciate hearing from Marissa about so that everybody can be clear, including me, because I've read these provisions of the proposed code multiple times, but it's a little unclear to me about this issue of independence and who needs it and, you know, what the position of the JCC is on this.
Thank you, Marissa, if you'd like to speak, I recognize Marissa.
Sure, and just, I typed this in the chat too, but the complainants codes counselors have just commented on the public site about this, and I spoke to them as well, and we're on the same page. Essentially, we don't think that it is appropriate for the director of the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards to have the consulting role that the new code suggests that they should be able to have in the hiring or the removal process of either the complainant's advisors or the respondent's advisors. So that is the main change that we're asking for, is that that be removed. We do think that the current process makes sense and provides the right level of accountability. The University Assembly is involved in both our hiring and our removal, and we think it makes sense to maintain that. Happy to answer any other specific questions about our position.
Thank you. I recognize Nick.
I'd like to ask a specific question to Marissa. Marissa, does my wording for the motion reflect what the complainants, cone advisors, and JCC offices have agreed on, or is it not worded correctly? So please bear with me, because I am not a law student or a lawyer.
Yeah, okay, I mean, I think, sorry.
I just want to acknowledge, so having non-voting members to bring into the discussion is totally fine. I just want to acknowledge that we want to be respectful of other non-voting members to be able to comment on this item as well. So go ahead, Marissa.
Yeah, I mean, I think broadly what you've typed makes sense, but I think some more specific language proposing actual edits would be a little bit more reflective of what we're talking about.
Thank you, Marissa. I recognize Jen.
I just wanted to say that Barb put in the chat that she would like to comment, and I would turn my time over to Barb if she has a comment.
Thank you, Jen. Go ahead, Barb.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to be respectful of the process. I saw other non-voting, anyway. I think the provision in the code is 2.2.1 for respondents and 2.2.2 for the complainants codes counselors. The provisions are essentially the same in that the SA GPSA here is where the reference to the OSA in consultation with the director selects the lead counselor for both the complainants and the respondent. The language is, I think, quite clear. It states that the lead respondent's codes counselor is responsible for managing that office with administrative support, and the lead complainant's codes counselor is responsible for managing that office. So the only role that the director has in either the selection or the removal of potential removal is to consult with the bodies that are responsible for making those appointments. I think it's important to remember in this context, the role of the director in the new process is not the same as the director now. The new director is not responsible for prosecuting any cases. The new director's responsibility is to make sure the process as a whole is fair. And in that context, it seems to me to have the director have a consulting role, not a decision-making role, seems appropriate. I want one final thing. I just don't understand, and this is where counsel's office and I disagree, actually. I think it's very challenging to have people who are employed by the university who don't exist in any administrative structure. So if there is going to be an administrative structure that's this administrative support, I don't know who provides that. Can the director's office provide that if there's concern about independence? So I think not, but then who does provide that? Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. And Jen, your hand is up, still up from before, is that correct? That's okay, no worries. I recognize Nick.
Having heard the input, I think that I would like to amend my motion to the following. The complainants and respondents code counselor should only be subject to removal by action of the Board of Trustees upon the recommendation of a three-quarter vote of the student and graduate and professional student assemblies. And putting it in the chat.
Since we have an amendment to the resolution there. Thank you, Nick. Or the motion.
I amended prematurely. I also think that the UA should retain the approving of the finalists for the hiring, and I will add that in writing now.
All right, I think we're getting a little, it's got a lot of things wrapped up into this particular one here. So just want to clarify. So you're stating here, you're adding in that they should, the university assembly should be involved as well. But just clarify.
Yes, the UA should, what happened? The UA should retain the role of being the body in charge of hiring and removal.
And Gina, can you clarify what you've placed it in there? Is that from the current code, or getting the amendments all put in one space there?
Sorry, I thought those were the amendments as I heard them. I'm sorry.
I fully agree with what you wrote. Yes, you worded it way better than I did.
There we go. So the CJC strongly recommends that the JCC and CCA offices retain their independence from any other parties involved in the JA processes. Was amended to state the complainants and respondents code counselors should only be subject to removal by action of the Board of Trustees upon recommendation by a three-quarters vote of the student and graduate GPSA. The UA should still retain approval of finalists. And I recognize Barb had her hand up there.
Thanks. I was just trying to type fast. I just would urge caution. This is not a substantive comment, but I'm concerned that if you adopt this amendment, you start to have inconsistencies elsewhere. And this is what I think. I haven't gone in the context of this meeting. I can't, keep up with, I don't want to state this with certainty, but for example, there's language elsewhere in the code itself that says the vice president for student and campus life has authority for this process and the people in it. And so I'm concerned that if you adopt this provision that gives the authority to the UA, that you will have an inconsistency. And I'll just put that out there and let you all discuss it. It's just my concern.
Thank you, Barbara. I recognize Marissa.
I have read the proposed code probably 12 times at this point, and I'm completely confident that there is no place where it says the vice president of student campus life will have any authority over the complainants or respondents codes counselor. So I don't think that this would conflict in any way.
Thank you. I recognize Heather.
Hi, I would like to call the question, call the question the way that Gina summarized it.
Call the question.
I'd like a second.
We have a second. All right, so now we're moving to voting. We have a couple of hands raised, but we have a call to question. So now we're now voting on the resolution the motion as stated. Again, that amended to the complainants and respondents code counselor should be only be subject to removal by action of the Board of Trustees upon the recommendation by a three-quarters vote of the student and graduate professional student assemblies, and the UA should retain approval for finalists. I'm going to go ahead and clear hands, and we'll get back to Kat and Uche after this. If we can, all those in favor can vote yes. All those opposed, no.
I'm really, really sorry. I have a quick question. So was there no discussion allowed for when we motion to vote, is there not discussion allowed about the vote?
Did I jump that gun?
When the question was called and seconded, we had to move to a vote, and we can't interrupt the voting while it's in progress. So Brandon, please make sure to actually take note of these, and then the votes currently, and then we can move to discussion. But the vote has to happen because the calling the question was seconded.
I That's where I was at, and we had had discussion, and then the call to question came in. Okay, do you need a further clarification?
I am so sorry to be like a pest. So there was a vote and then there was a second, but then usually like the chair would ask like, is there any dissent or is there any discussion, I think. But I don't know, I would defer to Gina. I'm just also a little confused. I think maybe chairing styles are different.
Once the question is called, the vote has to take place.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so again, the call to question. So all those in favor, yes. All those opposed, no.
Sorry, as a point of order, the votes did reset. So just make sure that you're actually voting.
Yep, we have the votes now. So we have 4 in favor, 3 against, and I will abstain. So with that, the vote does not pass.
How is that not passing?
Oh no, we're past 4. 4 is a 50%, yeah. I had the 6 number in my head from before. All right, so I'll copy that in there and we'll add that into the comments. All right, we've gone over our 10-minute extension already.
Motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Wait, I have something to ask. Is it possible for us to save the chat from Zoom? I know that it's a feature that some of my professors have used, and it might be useful since there's a lot of side discussion that hasn't been said in the recording.
Gina, what are the thoughts in regards to the chat for these?
Well, there's a technical response, which is yes, we can save the chat. Brandon, as the chair at the onset of the meeting, advised that chat is not part of the record. So we're trying to reserve that for clarifications and different things for reference. It's entirely up to the chair. What we, as a sort of the standard from the Office of the Assemblies, describe is if this were an in-person meeting, the chat wouldn't be taking place. There wouldn't be sidebar conversations that would be part of the record, but it's entirely up to the chair and the assembly, or in this case, the committee.
And hopefully I've done a good job of restating things that were in the chat so that they can be part of the public record. So that's kind of the goal there. I think it's important to Gina's point, stay in the spirit of the meeting and how we would operate. We wouldn't have a textual log of what was stated in sidebar conversations in a meeting. So keeping to the spirit, even though we have the Zoom chat now. All right, so we had a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. All right, so thank you all so much. I will copy you all on the response to councils, which will include the document that Risa so wonderfully put together, along with all of the motions that were passed here in support of specific items. So I really appreciate everyone's conversation here today. And I see Logan, you've joined. Perhaps you could stay on and we could just chat briefly about how we can move these forward in conjunction together. So with that, the meeting is adjourned. I thank you all so much for all of your hard work to get us here where we are today, and look forward to continued work. So thank you all. Have a great evening.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.